TNG Radio,
where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
On the night of December 15, 1945, a 37-foot boat nosed its way through a heavy snowstorm off of Cape Henry, Virginia, and landed in a place called Little Creek. And on board this 37-foot ship were 16 men from Estonia, men, women, and children. Reader's Digest reported on this. And they had been on an 8,000-mile voyage that had begun 128 days prior. They left Stockholm, Sweden, and they had run from communists who had taken over the homeland of Sweden. And the communists pressured the Swedish people to obey in all things, no freedom, economic freedom, no real cultural freedom, certainly no religious freedom. Now, this boat was more than 50 years old, and it was really built for about 4 to 5 people at most. 13 days into their journey, now they were at sea 128 days, 13 days into their journey, the boat sprang a leak, and they tried to repair it on the water. But for the rest of the voyage, 120-some days, they had to constantly be bucketing water out and running a bilge pump by hand. They crossed the North Sea into the Atlantic Ocean. They headed towards the Madeira Islands off the coast of Africa, then west across the Atlantic Ocean to the United States of America. They were in storms. They were driven onto rocks. They landed a time or two and tried to repair the boat and get supplies. They would head back out to sea. They nearly starved. The wind, the cold, the waves, their clothes were soaked. They were in snow and ice. And as they got closer to America, at one point, storms drove them back out to sea. And some of them said to themselves, however, though, regarding the communist takeover of Europe, it would be better to drown at sea than to go back. And they finally made it to America. And in 1945, the headlines reported that they were, quote, the Mayflower of 1945. And in a way, they really were pilgrims. Hi, Alex McFarland here. I welcome you to today's edition of Truth for a New Generation. The reason I begin with that story is because it reminds me of 4 phone calls I had in rapid succession. Last week, I was doing radio for the American Family Radio Network, and we had a number of callers commenting on the election and commenting on the Democrat Party's recent enamoration with socialism and the hard left turn that the Democrat Party has taken. And of course, people like Bernie Sanders, the professed atheist who is a socialist, AOC, Kamala Harris, supporting Marxist causes. And I had 4 callers, one from Colombia, one from the Philippines, a man from Mexico, a person who had spent time in Venezuela. And they all said this. They said, look, we left socialist countries to get away from big government and Marxism. We came to America for Christianity, capitalism, a Judeo-Christian culture. And one lady especially, it was very touching. She was nearly in tears on the phone, fighting back emotion, trying hard not to cry on live radio in front of millions of listeners. And she said, I feel like I'm in a nightmare that I can't wake up from. She said, I left South America to avoid socialism, to escape it. And here America is now embracing socialism. If America becomes Marxist, where else in the world could we go? For 50 years, really, since 1970 and 71, when New York and California began to lead us away from our natural law moral foundation by implementing no-fault divorce, and that was the first volley really fired to begin the destruction of the family here in America. And then there was 1973, Roe versus Wade, and abortion, which is not a natural right, but was sold to the American people, ratified by the Supreme Court under the guise of somehow a right to privacy. A person is allowed to kill a baby. And we're in a nation at this point with the militant secularization of education and the breakdown of the family. And now celebrities and pundits and commentators and journalists and even elected officials that not only mock what is good and true and moral and right, but actually flagrantly denigrate America, the Constitution, our founders, the ideals and the convictions upon which this nation was built. It's no wonder that America is teetering on the brink of anarchy. And the social architects, the progressives, the liberals, and yes, I will say it, the Democrats, they've done this. They've done this. And so I want to talk a little bit about where we are and what might be a ray of hope. I mean, there is hope. I'm a Christian. I serve the God who created the universe, sustains the solar system, planet Earth, even you and I, and who conquered the grave. So our God is able, but it's going to take prayer. It's going to take a dependency on God, and millions of people, and certainly clergy and religious leaders, to unify and to throw ourselves before God and say, oh Lord, we need your help. God, we're desperate. We stand on the doorstep of going into a very dark place. And let me say, folks, if we become a socialist country, if we fall off of the precipice that 50 years of secularism has brought us to, none of us hearing this radio broadcast right now will live long enough to see America rebuilt. In fact, I really question whether or not America, as we know it, and our Constitution will even exist in 3 to 5, 8, 10 years. If we don't immediately, on the spiritual side, turn to God and pray, on the human physical side, have leaders that are courageous enough to say to those that are trying to make this a socialist, atheistic, relativistic utopia, it won't be a man-made heaven on earth. We're about to enter, really, the fancy scholarly word is dystopia. The biblical word would be hell on earth. We need a revival. Fortunately, that's possible. And excitingly, you and I can play a role. Stay tuned. Truth for a New Generation will be back after this. And I want to talk about the state of America, where we are, how we got here, but most importantly, where, with God's help, we might go.
America today is like a patient struggling to live, yet is being forcibly euthanized by her, quote, doctors. The life force within the patient fighting for survival is the honest citizens like yourself. The team of, quote, caregivers are the local and national leaders actually contributing to the demise of the patient. The economy is crashing. Crime is exploding. The Constitution is being abolished. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late by Alex McFarland, has one single purpose: to get you prepared. Learn the real source of America's current problems that no one else is talking about, and what you can do now to face tomorrow, regardless of what tomorrow brings. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and local Christian bookstores.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
timeless truths in a soundbite culture. Truth for a New Generation Radio.
In Exodus 19:5, God says to the Israelites, quote, "Now then, if you will obey me faithfully and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples." Welcome back to Truth for a New Generation. Alex McFarland here. We're talking about America, this great haven for pilgrims seeking freedom. Now, I want to talk about America being a covenant nation, but in this regard, in the aftermath of the Protestant Reformation, there were thinkers in Europe, and they were not only thinkers and seekers of truth, and most all of whom were believers in Christianity, but they were also people that wanted freedom of religion, and they wanted to worship Christ and serve the Lord and not have kings or governments or monarchs insert themselves into the church and run the church. Many people recognize that a state-run church really did not enable the body of believers to fulfill Christ's great commission and be spiritually robust. And so while Exodus 19:5, God says to Israel, if you will obey me faithfully, keep my covenant, then what? You shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. Now, Israel being a covenant nation was due to the fact that the covenant was initiated by God. God called Abraham. God promised Abraham soil, seed, and savior. Everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you this land. And Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants. I will make of you a great nation. And Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. But it dawned on thinkers like Johannes Althusius in the 1500s and Edward Coke and Roger Williams, the founder of Rhode Island, and others of the founders. Maybe while with Israel the covenant was initiated by God, maybe in the case of the New World, the nation being built on the North American continent, the covenant could be initiated by man. It would be a nation built on the law of God, the reality of the biblical God, morals, the gospel. Like Alexis de Tocqueville said in the early 19th century, America is a nation with the soul of a church. But people wondered, could a nation be a covenant nation because they bound themselves together and committed that they would build their country on the Word of God? And yes, I would say clearly, in 243 years of American history, look, America has been the nation that was birthed with the conviction that there should be civil rights for all. America has been the nation of religious freedom, great achievements in technology and education. Jonas Salk discovered penicillin. The Wright brothers built the airplane, and America has given the world everything from benevolence and charity to HVAC, air conditioning, and automobiles owned by the common man. I mean, America has been great. That's why I was so thrilled on November 2nd, 2020, that President Donald Trump, by executive order, initiated the 1776 Commission, whereby he said that our students must be taught to love America, not to vilify the founders. But we're a nation, my dear friends, I would say that we have betrayed our covenant with God. It was almost like the founders dipped their toe in the water. Remember, Peter walked on the water, and he saw the storm, and it was boisterous, and he became afraid. He began to sink. We as a nation, sociologically, governmentally, politically, culturally, we, 240 years ago plus, stepped out of the boat, and we found, keeping our eyes on Christ, we could walk on the water nationally, if you will. But we've deviated. As I said, no-fault divorce, no legal protection for the unborn, the redefinition of marriage, the mainstreaming of sexual deviancy, banning students from saying the blessing in school, praying in the end zone of a football field. You can't post the Ten Commandments. And as I've said so many times on this program, look, America was based on natural law. That's why it was so hugely significant. On November 2nd, 4:37 p.m. Eastern Time, when Donald Trump issued the 1776 commission, and it got zero coverage in the press. In fact, I would assume many of you have never even heard of this, and yet the president, by executive order the day before the election, said, we have to teach young people to appreciate this country, and we will teach our true history. But he used a phrase, as far as I know, no president of our lifetime has even used, Washington's phrase, the laws of nature and nature's God. Now, it doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean that nature is God. And we don't worship nature. No, the laws of nature, that means the natural law, the moral truth written on the heart of all people, and the God behind it. So the laws of nature and nature's God, the God that created the physical world, but the God that also wrote his eternal truths on our heart. And so that's why, you know, George Washington, 1732 to 1799, Washington said, quote, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Because the founders believed they would create a nation that not only was implicitly based on the moral truth known to every heart, but also on the overt special revelation of God's written word. And you know, our judiciary, our legislative and executive branches are based on the word of God. I mean, if you read Isaiah 33:22, where it talks about prophet, priest, and king, read Proverbs 14:34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And you'll find similar sentiments in Proverbs 27:23, 29:18. Look, the judiciary branch, it says the Lord is our judge. The legislative branch, the Lord is our lawgiver. And the executive branch, the Lord is our king, and he will save us. The three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial, they're drawn right from the word of God. And the founders on our side of the table, they actively said, we will build a covenant nation, and we will be in covenant with God, and we'll see if he blesses us, and if we follow his covenant, will God be our Lord. As one historian said, Christianity was the religion of the founders, and they expected it to be the religion of their descendants. Now, we've got to take a break. Stay tuned. We're going to come right back after this on this very special edition of Truth for a New Generation, and we're going to talk about America's pathway back to God, which is, I believe, the precondition for our nation's survival. Don't go away.
Alex has written many books to help you defend your faith. One of them answers questions from skeptics. It's cleverly titled, 10 Answers for Skeptics. Today's skeptics are looking for authenticity, integrity, and straightforward truth. And in the book, Alex McFarland identifies the 10 most common types of skepticism that plague doubters' minds and offers believers proven strategies for connecting intellectually and spiritually with those who are skeptical about the claims of Christianity. Learn how to answer intimidating questions, identify the root issue behind those questions, and dismantle the spiritual bombshells dropped by atheists. Plus, find encouragement to face hostility by persevering in love, the ultimate apologetic Christians can offer as a witness to our loving God. Check out 10 Answers for Skeptics when you visit alexmcfarland.com. You know, Alex has been writing for many years, and one of his classic books is still great today as a basic introduction to the Christian faith. It's called Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. This book will help you help your teens get off the roller coaster of doubt and onto solid ground. You'll read about the six pillars of biblical Christianity. They are 1, inspiration of the Bible, 2, the virgin birth, 3, the deity of Christ, 4, atonement, 5, Christ's resurrection, and 6, Christ's return. You know, Alex mixes it up with humor and stories he gleaned from decades of working with youth and encourages teens to build a foundation of faith that will stabilize their lives and help them take a stand for Christ. Simple and straightforward, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. Available wherever Christian books are sold. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. So honored that you are listening to Truth for a New Generation. Hey, let me remind you to please like us and share us publicly on your social media platforms. Alex McFarland, we're on Twitter and on Facebook. It's Rev Alex McFarland. That's R-E-V, Rev Alex McFarland. We have a Facebook page, but you know, when you hit 5,000 followers, you have to start a public page, which we did. And we have a YouTube channel called Truth for a New Generation. Now, we're on television on the NRB TV network twice a week. We're on live social media streams 2 to 3 times per week. And then we're on the radio 5 days a week live with Exploring the Word. And then on the weekends, too, with TNG Radio. And we appreciate you following what we do, and we're doing all that we can to teach and educate, evangelize the lost. And really, don't get me wrong, I want people to be excited about being a citizen of God's kingdom, heaven. But look, until Christ returns or we leave this world, we've got to live in the United States of America. So we need people to be excited about building a better America. And I believe that the future must be a rediscovery of our glorious foundation. Now, if you say to young people, the future is tied to our past, hey, no young people want to go backwards. They don't want to put the car in reverse. But when you talk about our foundation, the core values that made our nation great, they will listen. I know, because I correspond with hundreds every week. Let me share something from just a few years ago. In 2010, when Barack Hussein Obama was president, a group of leaders in Congress that meet for prayer with the Congressional Prayer Caucus, a bipartisan group of nearly 70 members, they wrote a letter to then-President Obama, and they said, this is December of 2010, Mr. President, we write to you because President Obama had spoken in Jakarta, Indonesia, and he said that, quote, our national motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of the many, one. And the Congressional Prayer Caucus wrote to the president, they said, E Pluribus Unum is not our national motto. In 1956, Congress passed and Eisenhower approved the law establishing, quote, in God we trust, end of quote, as the official national motto of the United States. It's referenced in our national anthem, engraved on our currency and our coins, in God we trust. But in the fall of 2010, or 2009 through 2010, in three separate events in rapid succession, President Obama would quote the Declaration of Independence, and he would say that we have inalienable rights, but he wouldn't say where those rights come from. That they're from God, the Creator. The founders knew that God was the source of our rights. And so they sort of gave a little bit of a reprimand to the president. And they said, look, you continually say our national motto is out of the many, one. But it's not. It's in God we trust. And you continually say that we have inalienable rights, but you neglect to say that the Declaration, not to mention all 50 state constitutions, see God as the source of our rights. Well, friend, among the dozens of people that signed this letter asking the President Obama to reference the truth about our history, that the founders forged this nation out of belief in the God of the Bible, they quoted Ronald Reagan, who said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, we're simply going to be one nation gone under. This letter was signed by Randy Forbes and Michelle Bachman, people that we know, people that we appreciate, but also Mike Pence from Indiana since 2006. And I was reading this, reflecting over just for more than a decade, our drift away from the knowledge of God. Mike Pence, who knew that Mike Pence would become the vice president? And a great one he is and has been. But look, there are a lot of us that we're not being alarmist and we're not trying to, you know, be overtly negative, but we agree. You know, we agree with John Adams, who said, quote, "It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." Religion and morality alone. Well, where will we be when those like AOC and Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris and Pelosi and Schumer that are trying to erase religion and morality from public consciousness, where will we be when Christianity is fully silenced? Some years ago, there was a very famous prayer that was prayed in the Kentucky legislature. Pastor Bob Russell was there to pray in Kentucky, and he prayed, and he said, you know, "God, we come before you to ask forgiveness." Now listen to this as I close. He said, "We've ridiculed absolute truth and called it pluralism. We've worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We've endorsed perversions and alternative lifestyles and called it tolerance. We've killed the unborn and called it choice. We've abused power and called it political savvy. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We've neglected to discipline our children and have called it self-esteem. We've ridiculed time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and save us, our God, and save us, O God." Well, that's an abbreviated version of that very well-known prayer by Bob Russell, but it's very relevant for today. Let me encourage you to please pray for America. May we all humble ourselves before God and be grateful for all of God's blessings, salvation, life itself, America, our Constitution. But may we pray and intercede for this country that the truth will prevail, the election will be fairly tabulated, and that God will have mercy on this country. George Washington said, "Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pains taken to bring it to light." May we be people of truth, and may God in His mercy cause truth to be the foundation of our nation.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.